Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Danny Yunus, Leader of Global Operations and Strategy at Logistics Plus. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. We'll jump right in. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and then remind us what led you to joining Logistics Plus a little over 2 years ago?
Yeah, sure. So I've been in supply chain for my whole career. I've been pretty passionate about it since I graduated from Penn State. And I guess over the last, 15, 20 years, I've been lucky enough to kind of be involved in different projects that spanned across different functions and different types of technology. For the last couple of years, I was actually working on my own startup, and that had me all over the place from, West Coast to Europe and over in Michigan. And one of our pilot clients was Logistics Plus. So as I was wrapping up things with the startup, my co-founder and I decided to kind of move on to other things. And Jim and Yuri and the guys here said, "Danny, why don't you stick around? You like working on complex problems. We got a lot of them here." I said, "Okay, cool." So that was kind of the beginning of my life here in Erie. And of course, in addition to that, in the meantime, when I was working here with LP, with the startup, I had fallen in love. So that's the other half of the story of why I got to Erie.
Can you describe your role and job functions as a global supply chain strategist for Logistics Plus?
Yeah, it's funny. When people get onboarded to this company, there's kind of this saying that Jim likes to go with, that we don't really know what you're going to be doing next month. We don't know what you're going to be doing next week. But if you like to solve problems, then get in and grab a paddle and start rowing. And that's kind of how it was with me since the beginning of my time here with Logistics Plus. I don't really have a title. There's a lot of folks like that in this company. I'm sort of a generalist and a problem solver. So sometimes those are internal problems or opportunities we're trying to, make things more efficient or improve processes or improve profitability inside the company. Sometimes it's external facing where, I'm working with clients trying to put together onboarding or, create new processes, new technologies that are going to help solve their problems. Really the full gambit. And I think I've got an interesting toolkit from my past that helps me break down problems and solve them in a pretty efficient way. And a lot of that has to do with communication. So especially since we're such a distributed organization, we're, all over the place around the world, and so are our clients, we rely a lot on different types of communication, a lot of visual communication. So drawing out different workflows, making sure everyone's on the same page. Because with supply chains, it's really a distributed workflow. You've got a lot of different players that are all over the world that need to come together and kind of play the same game for some period of time. That can be a tricky one to solve. So I bring that perspective to the table, and I can help kind of get things done, push them over.
Danny, would you say creativity is a vital part of the success at Logistics Plus?
I would, yeah. And I would just add to that that we're, a solutions company. That's how Jim likes to pose it. And I truly believe that solutions don't come out of thin air. It's usually, some organizations get stuck in these places where it's just, oh, this is the way we've always done things. And you wake up one day and you realize that you've got, major issues that could be existential for your organization. How do you solve those types of problems when it's ingrained in everyone's, mentality and day-to-day? Creativity is a huge part of that. But sometimes it's KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Just go back to basics and, figure out what are the things you need to focus on. And that's the creative solving process.
I understand that you have a small team of associates that have been collectively dubbed the Delta Team. What does that mean, and what does your Delta team do at LP?
So I guess Jim and the team kind of liked my approach and how I was able to, get things done and sort of bring together the right people, processes, and technology to create solutions. And as an experiment, we tried to replicate that. So they sent a couple of folks, one new kid who was brand new to Logistics Plus, and another person who had been with LP for a couple of years already, but very sharp individuals, and folks who wanted a little bit more than just, you know, the regular type of transactional things that they would otherwise be doing. So as an experiment, Jim put those two guys in my room and said, Danny, see if you can kind of copy yourself. Teach these guys. Get them the same toolkit, the same skills, or at least expose them to that way of thinking. And thus was born the Delta team. So Ben and Ricardo were, you know, the first two guys to kind of cycle through. And they've gone on to do awesome things within the company. And I would say that the Delta team is, from my perspective, almost supply chain 101, like a classroom sort of, where, you know, I'm working on actual projects and they're involved in 100% of them. I'm, you know, posting all of, you know, the work that I'm doing on a big flat screen TV on the wall. They can see how I'm writing emails, like types of business communication. They can see how I'm using different pieces of software to try to actually, you know, design new solutions for organizations or companies or ourselves. And I want to try to impart those tools and skills on these people so that they can go out and, you know, try to solve problems in a way that I think has been effective for me. So basically, Delta Team, we do it all.
You know, this all goes back to Jim empowering his employees. Do you agree with that?
I would, yeah. And I think that adds to the type of projects that we as a company like to take on. Of course, there's the traditional, you know, trucking and, you know, air freights and ocean shipments. We do a lot of imports and exports. We do, you know, transportation services. We do warehousing services. But when clients come to us with maybe outside-of-the-box kinds of problems, that's where we need to flex our muscles. That's where the Delta team comes in. So, and honestly, I think that's where a lot of the growth is, because all that transactional stuff, it's not that hard to do. And we like the harder problems. Of course, we do all that transactional stuff and we do it really well. We have, you know, best in class customer service, and that's really important. But the hard problems, that's where the opportunity is.
Danny, as we know from all our past interviews, LP really takes great pride in its culture and its people. What is LP doing to further invest in the development of its people?
Yeah, I think the Delta team's, you know, a good example of an experiment where, you know, we're investing in our people and trying to get the right folks on the ship and have the right mindset and keep that culture of creativity, like you said. And a lot of it's just about growth. So growth as a company, growth as an individual, growth in your perspective. We've done the Dale Carnegie course for, God, I'm not sure how many years now, but right now there's probably a dozen of our employees going through the Dale Carnegie course. One of them is Ricardo, one of the guys from my Delta team, the class one from the Delta team. And he's having a great experience there. You know, they go through how to win friends and influence people, how to know thyself and, you know, leverage your strengths and make sure that, you know, you meet the bar on things where you don't have necessarily spikes, but improving yourself. And I think that's a great opportunity for anyone who's part of this company to take advantage of.
You know, over time, this is the type of investment that will ultimately pay off for LP, right?
Yeah. Yeah, functionally, it gives everyone, you know, this skill set where they can interact and be successful and be a professional. But also, you know, it gives people a sense of belonging to this company, too. Like, we're all very loyal. There's, I mean, extremely low attrition rate here. We always get awards for being a best place to work. And that's all culture. That's about the family of Logistics Plus and this idea of, you know, growing together. And, you know, in my startup days, that's how I wanted to do things as well. So that's what really rings true with me here at Logistics Plus.
Danny, Freight Audit Solutions, or LPFAS as you call it, is one of the newer capabilities you have helped create at Logistics Plus. Can you tell us a little bit more about that service?
Yeah. So some of the larger, more complex types of companies that we work with, they don't just have, you know, one shipment per day or two shipments per day. They could have hundreds or thousands coming from various different companies, locations, factories, warehouses, all over the world, different countries. And the modes that these shipments are going could be, you know, small pack like UPS or FedEx, or less than truckload, which is, you know, just a couple of pallets, or full truckload, which, you know, is the big 53-foot trucks you see on the highway. So lots of different types of shipments and lots of them. Well, the trucking world can be very fragmented, especially full truckload. The LTL world's a little bit more consolidated, and you've got lots of different carrier companies. They all want to get paid. So for one of these very complex companies that does thousands of shipments per day, you could have thousands of invoices coming in every day. Who processes those? You know, in the old days, you might have a team of like 15, 20, 50 people that opens up letters, reads the invoice, has to double check that it's legit, and then issues a payment to that company. That's very burdensome. And if you're a company that's in the business of producing socks, you don't want to have a staff of 50 people just reading invoices. Of course, things are more automated today, so there's EDI, there's email, there's different ways to send invoices, but a lot of these companies don't have that technology. Some do. So what we do is we provide a single point where all invoices can be received on behalf of that client, and then we'll actually audit them based on business logic. So we know what the expected invoice amount should be, let's say $1,000. Carriers make mistakes. Sometimes they'll charge you $1,200. We'll identify those discrepancies and flag them and then seek a resolution. If it's actually the case where they should have charged $1,200, then that needs to get approved and we need to pay them $1,200. But if we find out that the carrier has made a mistake and it's supposed to be $1,000, we've just helped our client avoid $200 in costs. Because normally, I mean, when you're transaction processing thousands of these per day, you're just going to sign on the line and process the invoice. So we help our clients find a lot of savings by avoiding these unnecessary costs.
Danny, can you explain the greatest challenges you and your team faced with COVID-19 this past year, how you overcame them, and what you ultimately learned from your team during this global pandemic?
I think the biggest challenge I can remember back in February or so, a lot of our clients, most of our clients, were reaching out to us for information. So I would say the biggest challenge was uncertainty and fear. And from our perspective, there's definitely uncertainty as well. We don't know what's happening. We don't know, you know, where things are going and which direction. But for our clients, it was, I would say, exacerbated. They were really, really scared and seeking information. The way that we kind of approached it is, you know, we already have a global network of our own employees all over the world, and especially in China, and also our network of partners that we work with, our customers, our suppliers. We reached out to everyone, and we just captured information. I think the biggest learning from this whole thing is the power of the network. When you have personal contacts that you trust, regardless of what the news is saying, if I've got boots on the ground in China and they're showing videos that say one thing versus the media that's saying another thing, that's powerful information. And that's the kind of stuff that we can share with our clients to help them fill the black space where they're missing that information. And maybe it's good news, maybe it's not good news, but at least it's direction.
Among the many challenges thrown at your Delta team, one of them recently involved working with an industrial gloves importer to maximize their container utilization and reduce shipping costs. Can you tell us a little more about that challenge and the results?
Yeah, this is a cool one. This is one of my favorite clients. They make work gloves, like the kinds you could find at Home Depot or Lowe's. They're a bunch of different varieties, but they're very special gloves. They might be dipped in rubber or some type of like grip. And the team at the client is a husband and a wife and maybe a marketing person, very, very small. And they're in this unique position right in the middle where after, you know, 30 years experience in the industry, they know all the merchants in America, the Home Depots, the Lowe's, True Value. And then from the supply side, they know the factories that actually produce these things as well. So they're kind of in the middle where they're doing the R&D, creating the new spec for the glove, requesting or making a purchase order in China, and then they need to get these things shipped to the U.S. So it's a new company, and they found themselves in a position where they got like a $10 million purchase order from the clients in the U.S. So they turn and they say, okay, how are we going to do this? And we got an inbound lead from our website. They just reached out through Logistics Plus to Scott Frederick, and they forwarded the email to me, and they're like, Danny, can we help these people? They seem a little in need. So what we did is we started by saying, all right, well, let's look at your purchase order. What are the different SKUs that you need to get? How do you need to pack them? How do they need to be distributed? What are your clients' requirements? You know, most of the time when you're shipping stuff from China to the U.S., you want to maximize the amount of product that's in one of those metal containers. Well, their clients had this business rule where they wanted the wooden pallets. They wanted the product stacked on wooden pallets, but double stacked so that they could easily unload and sort out these pallets once they arrived in the U.S. You end up wasting a lot of space because that space in the container that could be more product, but it's what the client demanded. So we had to set this up. We used 3D modeling software to actually input the data and run an analysis and see the most efficient load plan for each container based on destination. And that was just the start of it. Now we also help them with transportation. We keep their entire SKU set. It's called an item master. We keep that in our system. We help them generate documents, not only the commercial invoices, the documents they need to ship the goods, but also the invoices they use to bill their customer. So we're very, very, I would say, tightly bonded with this company now and at an early stage in their life. And the more that they grow, the happier we are to grow with them.
Danny, you were involved with a small acquisition in late 2018 that brought some new importer of record, or IOR, services to LP. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the importer of record stuff is fascinating. It's maybe the most complex type of work that we do here. When big technology companies want to, just as an example, let's say build a new data center in some foreign country, maybe, I don't know, India or something. How do you get the materials to that data center? You could just export it, but then you need someone on the other side to import those goods. You need an importer of record. That's a company that's registered in that destination country that's allowed to import materials. It's strange. You know, in the U.S., if you're a company, you can do whatever you want to. I could be Danny LLC and make pizzas, develop mobile apps, import and export goods. It's really not that hard. But some countries, like in Mexico, for example, if you start a company, you're limited to the types of activities you can do. If you're a real estate company, you can lease out apartments, but you can't fill those apartments with couches because you can't import couches from other countries. You're not allowed to import. You're allowed to lease out space. So it's similar in many countries around the world where you're limited to the types of work you can do. What we do for our clients when they want to have one of these new data centers in a foreign country, they're not interested in having, let's say, you know, Danny's Technology India. They just want Danny Technology USA. They don't want to start a new company in that other country because then you have to pay taxes. You have to people on payroll. You have to do all this other stuff, especially if they're just leasing space in a warehouse or in a data center, a building that's in India. You just want to lease some space, fill it up with servers, and then process data. Do you really need to have a company over there? Maybe not. Maybe you can outsource most of this stuff. But the critical piece is getting the goods into that data center. It's very complex. There's a bill of materials. You know, a server is made of hundreds of different parts. Each one of those parts could have different duties that you need to pay. Or maybe the country requires that you pay duties on the whole. We help our clients tax optimize. If there's VAT, we help them reclaim that. Regulations, any certifications that are required to export these items and import them to a foreign country, we handle all of that. It's really a turnkey solution. And a lot of our customers who are trying to move very fast in this space and build these data centers, a lot of our customers are not interested in the overhead and the bureaucracy that's required. They want to just hand that to us and say, make sure that these things get there on this date, and we get that done.
E-commerce is the fastest growing 3PL market segment, driving significant new demand for warehousing and fulfillment solutions. What is LP doing in this space, and can you provide any examples of clients you are working with today that require these services?
Yeah, I can. The e-commerce side of our business, we call it fulfillment. It's a different type of warehousing than traditional distribution. So in traditional retail distribution, you might, you know, have a whole bunch of inventory in your warehouse, and you need to send it out in truckload or less than truckload quantities to retail stores. As you know, with e-commerce, people are buying stuff online, and it gets shipped directly to their house. So different distribution model, different warehousing model. And what we're doing in our warehouses is we're able to pick, pack, and ship these small orders that go straight to people's houses. And the way that we do that is with different types of warehouse management systems than you would normally use for retail. These warehouse management systems are connected to order processing systems that speak directly to the e-commerce websites or the online shopping carts. So for a lot of our clients, and our clients are merchants, they might be people who, you know, created a new pogo stick and they want to sell that pogo stick on not only eBay, they also want to sell it on Amazon.com, and they also want to sell it on Walmart.com and Target.com, and maybe their own personal website too, pogosticks.com. So no matter where a person shops on the internet, that inventory could be held at our warehouse. The order comes into our warehouse, we pick, pack, and ship it from our warehouse. That's one model. With Amazon, of course, that's, you know, the big elephant in the room. They offer a couple different ways that you can work with them if you're a merchant. So let's say, again, with Danny's Pogo Sticks, you know, initially I start things out, I just want to list that item on Amazon, but I'm shipping them from my garage. Well, that's fulfillment by merchant, FBM. It's a specific Amazon commercial model. And they'll charge me X number of dollars every time I sell a pogo stick just for the benefit of listing that item on Amazon.com. So the next level up from that is fulfillment by Amazon, where now I got to send truckloads of pogo sticks to an Amazon warehouse, and they'll do the pick, pack, and ship for me. So that's another model, but now they're going to charge me a little bit more every time I sell a pogo stick. And that's okay. So we'll support merchants that outgrow their garage, so we need to do the pick, pack, and ship for them. We also support merchants that are doing fulfillment by Amazon, where we'll hold the inventory in our warehouse until Amazon says, I need another truckload of pogo sticks. And that's a really unique, I'd say, offering that we provide to different merchants. Most of the time, our targets are companies that are kind of growing and maybe, you know, trying to figure out how to optimize their own commercial models. But we also have some very large clients. We have Staples, Zippo. We're doing their e-commerce fulfillment. So if you're buying, you know, those types of items online, we're helping out with the pick, pack, and ship. And it could very well be our warehouse that's sending those products to your home. And there's more in line, too. The bigger we get, you know, the more word of mouth kind of spreads that this is another choice for how to do e-commerce fulfillment, because everyone's got an idea for something that would be great to sell online, but the actual processing of those orders and the pick, pack, and ship can be a little bit cumbersome if you don't know what you're doing.
Danny, I am told you have been secretly developing a new internal networking application at Logistics Plus called LP Search Plus. Can you tell us a little bit about this project?
Yeah, when Jim and Yuri were asking some high-level questions when I was kind of getting onboarded here, they said, you know, the bigger that Logistics Plus gets, the more complex we get, the harder it is for everyone here in the company to know, you know, who all the other people are in this organization, and also, you know, what are all the great things that LP does. I'm in a unique spot where I get to see a lot of the different capabilities that we have as a company, but someone who's working in imports might not know that we have, you know, fulfillment operations that we can offer to our clients. Someone who's working in domestic truckload might not know that we do importer of record services. It's just not in their day-to-day, you know, scope of work. So one of the things we wanted to try and do is make it easier for people to understand what are all the great things we do as a company and who's doing those things and what capabilities do people bring to the table. The way it works in the real world today is we've got connectors, folks like Jim, like Scott Frederick, like Yuri, where, you know, if a client called me and they asked me a question and I didn't know an answer, I'd say, hey, Jim, do we do ice cream services? Have we ever shipped and stored ice cream? A client's just asked me about that. And, you know, I don't know that answer, but Jim Berlin, he definitely does. He says, yep, Jenny Melgert, she's our girl. She has extensive experience in frozen and refrigerated food. Please connect that client with her. So you can see Jim is like a hub and all the spokes go out from him. He's a connector. So what we're working on with LP Search is it really just looks like a Google search bar. And you can type in any keyword and it's going to populate a page of results that identifies different people that have those associations with those keywords or company capabilities. So we'll have a couple profiles. We'll have a capability profile that's, let's say, imports, that's a company capability. Well, if someone in domestic truckload doesn't know anything about imports, you can click on that link and it'll bring you up to a page that explains all of the stuff that's involved with imports, plus the people that are associated with that capability. So who are the folks to talk to if you have a question that comes up about imports? Pretty simple, and that was really the idea, is let's keep it as simple as possible. Just a search bar, you type in any keyword. If you type in the word bananas, then if we have content related to bananas, it's going to show up and there's a string for someone to pull on and see where it leads.
Danny, thanks so much for your time. Last question here. What are your thoughts on building a professional career in this area?
I think Erie's the best kept secret this side of the Mississippi. It's a cool little place. Like I said at the beginning here, I fell in love with a girl in this town, and as it goes with love, you know, you just never expect it when it happens. And that's a big part of, you know, what's gotten me here. And career-wise with Logistics Plus, it's such a unique opportunity for me to continue to be an entrepreneur even after my startup has ended. I can get into as much trouble here as I want to. Really, they give me a lot of rope to hang myself, and they'll do that for anyone at this company. If you've got the right stuff to kind of be a self-starter, you can make this your world. And as long as you're growing and helping the company grow, then it's yours. I love that about this opportunity. And Erie's a great spot too. I was just mentioning to some of the guys here earlier, this time of year, especially with all the grapes being harvested, I got into winemaking. Like, I never knew that was a thing. But yeah, I ran up to Presque Isle Winery and picked up 5 gallons of juice for $25, and now I'm going to make Danishevitz. It's going to be great.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.